This church is becoming more Baptist all the time. Everybody's going back further. I'm happy to be here. I thank God for your praise team. You guys bless me every time I'm here. I just thank God for you, and you put us in a real spirit of worship. This is my second service of the day. I taught a class on the book of Ephesians this morning at 9 o'clock at the Presbyterian Church of Los Gatos. And then I got in my chariot and came across town to be with you. Why are you here? Why are you here? Have you come because it's the thing to do on Sunday mornings? Or have you come because someone has encouraged you to come? Have you come because you have a need in your life and you're seeking answers? I hope you've come with an open heart. Let's ask God to speak to us as He's spoken through the music and the reading of the Word. May He speak through the proclamation of the Word. Lord, we're your servants. And we ask that you would speak now through me, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts would be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and Redeemer. Speak to us, Lord God. May we put aside football games and other activities for the day. And may we have our focus solely upon you. And may you penetrate our hearts with the Word of God as it's proclaimed. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of you may know that I have been very unsuccessful when it comes to retiring. I retired 11 years ago, and since that time, I've retired four more times. And I'm working again. And I want you to know that I recently was on Noah's Ark. That shows you just how old I might be. This, however, was not the ark on top of Mount Ararat, but in Williamstown, Kentucky. It's an exact duplicate of the original ark. By the way, I really wasn't on the original ark. I'm not quite that ancient. I remember a Sunday school teacher telling me when I was 15 years old that she believed that I would witness the second coming of Jesus Christ. I've lived my life with total expectation of that event for the past 68 years since she told me that. There was a time in the 1970s when I honestly thought Jesus' return was imminent. But I'm still waiting. Some of you might remember that in the 70s, we experienced in this country what was called the Jesus Revolution. Jesus' picture was actually on the front cover of Time magazine. Photos of Chuck Smith, who was the founder and pastor of the First Calvary Chapel in Costa Mesa, California, were shown while he was baptizing new converts in the Pacific Ocean. These were in national publications. They were on television. It was a phenomenon that people had not seen. And most of the converts were high school and college and young adults. And those that were not were those who were part of the group that was called as the turn on, tune in, and the drop out, the hippies. It was an amazing, sweeping thing. It was amazing. Every major news media was covering it. These hippies, these young people, like many people today, were seeking for answers to their life. They were trying to find meaning to their life, and they were discovering that true meaning only comes when you know Jesus Christ. And they were committing their life to Christ, and then they were becoming evangelists. They were going out and bringing others in. And it was an amazing time to be alive. And everybody was looking forward to the coming of Jesus. At the same time, I was the minister of youth in a large Presbyterian church in Southern California. Young people were becoming quite excited about all that was going on, about the second advent of Christ. While they would sing praise songs, they raised their finger, this index finger, imitating, looking up. Jesus is coming. They'd sing song after song, singing and praising and waving their hands as they sang. You would see bumper stickers that would say, one way. Others would say, honk if you love Jesus. And it was an amazing time. My small youth group, well, it was fairly small. We had about 150 high school young people in our youth group. And they decided to put on a Christian rock concert. And we had 900 teenagers come to this concert to hear these Christians sing the rock music and the Jesus, be part of the Jesus revolution. I was asked at that summer, actually for several summers, to speak at Forest Home Christian Conference Center, which was located just above San Bernardino, California. It was started by Henrietta Mears from the Hollywood Presbyterian Church, and they asked me if I would speak about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And the place was packed. It was an auditorium larger than this room, and it was filled with young people, and they were lined across the back and down the side because they wanted to hear this news, and they really believed that Jesus was coming, and they believed he was coming soon. And it was amazing to watch them as they'd sing and sing songs about praise and Jesus with their fingers extracts. People lived in expectation during the 70s of the return of Jesus. Hal Lindsey wrote a book, The Late Great Planet Earth, and another one, Countdown to Armageddon, predicting that Jesus would probably come sometime in the late 1980s. Gene Dixon, the psychic, wrote another book, The Call to Glory, also predicting that Jesus would probably return sometime around 2018. Movies were made, Left Behind, and people would go and read the books, and they really believed that Jesus would come again. What about now? What about now? Do you believe that Jesus is going to return? Do you believe that he's coming again? And what does the Bible teach? Rather than believe what I say, rather than believe what Time Magazine had to say, rather than believe what Hal Lindsey and Gene Dixon and others would have, what does the Bible say? And then how should that affect the way we live? If we believe that Jesus is going to return, how then should we act? The Apostle Peter wrote that. In light of all of the destruction that he says is going to come, he says, how then should we act as believers? People ask me on occasion if I really believe that Jesus Christ is going to return to this earth again. And my response is very loud, yes. Because the Bible teaches that Jesus is going to return. Sometimes we say the Apostles' Creed during a communion service and worship services. And part of that creed says, I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, who suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. That's the creed that Christians say around the world. But do we really believe it? You know, frankly, I don't see any other hope for our world. I really don't. I don't want to be a prophet of doom, but I don't see any other hope than this big event of Jesus' return. When John Kennedy was president in the 60s, John Kennedy was a devout Roman Catholic, and he asked Billy Graham, the evangelist, to come and meet with him, and he asked him, Billy, do you really believe in the second coming of Jesus Christ? And Billy said, yes, I do. And he said, tell me about it, because I don't hear about it in my church. I want to know. There was a curiosity on his part. He heard about it. This is even 10 years before the Jesus revolution. Let me add here that there's many ideas about this. I don't propose to stand before you today and say I have all the answers about this. There are many theologians who have various ideas about this. But I believe the positive signs point that Jesus will return. We don't have to have all the answers. The theologian Karl Barth told of a threefold coming of Jesus. Jesus came as was prophesied by the prophets, and that's our hope. We believe that Jesus came. We just celebrated Christmas. We celebrated his birth, and we believe that he came to this earth. He walked among us. He showed us how to live. He gave us an example of how to live. He comes today. He comes as in present tense, as was the past. He comes in the person of the Holy Spirit. We read in the book of Colossians, it says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ comes into our life. Christ comes to reside in our life when we invite Jesus Christ into our life. And we walk and talk with him. So where's Christ today? He's in your heart. He's in your life. He's in our lives. When you're in school, when you're at work, when you're at home, when you're just walking around, when you're at church, Christ is here. Christ is present. The Bible says, where two or three of us are together, he is with us. And he's with us at all times. I walk a lot. I had heart surgery some years ago and was told the best therapy is I need to walk. I go to the gym and I go on the treadmill. And it's great times to talk with the Lord. The third time way he comes is future tense, as promised in the scripture. So Jesus tells the disciples, like many of us said to Jesus, tell us, what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you. No one knows about that day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, only the Father. Interesting, is it not? Not only Jesus does not know exactly when he's to return. And so we should not try to speculate if we know he will return, but when that time will be. The Bible tells us there'll be many signs to his coming. And however, many of these signs have already been taking place for a long time. Jesus told his disciples, many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it you're not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation. Sounds like today's newspaper, CNN, CNBC, Fox News, whatever you want. It sounds just like what we hear every day. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, there will be famines. There will be earthquakes. We feel those, don't we? There will be, in various places, all these are the beginning of birth pangs. I pulled out of the San Jose Mercury News on Sunday, January the 5th, this article that says 2019 brought fires, floods, and more to California. We're in the center of all of these things that are all part of the signs of Jesus coming. But he said these are the only beginning. There'll be many more. One thing we know for certain, there are many who disregard this teaching. Many people who believe this is just a bunch of hogwash. But whether you agree with it or not, what is important, Jesus declared while he was on earth that one day he would return. Not me. Not me. Jesus said, I will return. I will return. And you recall the disciples were gazing into heaven as Jesus was ascending there in the first chapter of the book of Acts. It says they were gazing into heaven. Two men stood as he was going. Why are you looking into the sky? This same Jesus will return just as you've seen him go. That day has yet to come. Even knowing this, some people poo-poo this teaching. It was the Apostle Peter who wrote, first of all, you must understand this, that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and indulging their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since our ancestors died, all things continued as they were from the beginning of creation. And Jesus said, no one knows the hour or day, but not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father, as it was in the days of Noah, as was read this morning, As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of God. For in the days before the flood, we're eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage up the day of Noah, up until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what was to happen until the flood came and took them away. Now, this is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Therefore, keep watch. Be alert. Keep your eyes open, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. So you must be ready, because the Son of Man will come in an hour when you do not expect him. So that being true, we say, what was it like during the days of Noah? The word describes them as wild, describes them as wicked, it describes them as being sex crazy. Everything they wanted, everything they imagined, everything, they did it. They even worshipped a form of God. It was a decadent religion. But there was one man. There was one man. In the midst of all of this, there was one man who stood out before God. The Bible said Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It used to be a song we sang about that. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so God said to Noah, I want you to build me an ark. What's an ark, God? And God has to describe for him what an ark is. Where are we going to build it, God? Right here. In the desert. In the desert, we're going to build an ark. And God said, yes, there's going to be a flood. What's a flood, God? Imagine this conversation with Noah. Noah walked with God, but up until then, and it never rained. It had never rained until then. The water, the earth was watered from beneath. There had never been rain, and here they are in the desert, and this guy's building this huge ark. I've seen the duplicate. It's three football fields long. Can you imagine it? Three stories high. And he starts to build this. And everybody starts making fun of him. What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you building? I'm building an ark. Why are you building an ark? There's going to be a flood. What's a flood? It's going to rain. Sure. And they laughed at him. They laughed at him. They made fun of him. And they make fun of people today. As Peter said, there'll be scoffers that come that laugh at this message that Jesus is going to return. And the Bible says, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, was moved by godly fear, and he prepared the ark. God told him to build it, and he did it. I've seen the replica of this ark, and let me tell you, I can understand why there were scoffers. I remember I just stood, just looking at it, I think, that baby's not going to float. It was so big. It was so big. But all the time, Noah kept building. Noah kept putting it together, and all the people kept laughing. And I'm sure it was, they got their lawn chairs, and you know, they would come and watch, and they'd laugh and think, this guy is really loony. I mean, he needs the, you know, the white coats. And all this time, he was telling them the impending judgment, just like I'm telling you today that Jesus will one day return, and some people laugh and say, oh, that's a farce. So the people were making fun. And finally, everybody was on the ark. Noah's family was on it. All the animals that God had told him to bring were on the ark. And God told him, leave the doors open 1 week. So 7 days the doors were left open. In case anybody repented and would come and want to be on, they could come. And all he did was laugh. All he did was make fun. And the doors were closed by God, not by Noah. God closed the doors, and the rains came, and the floods came, and the earth just opened up with water, and the rain came for 40 days and 40 nights, and this big baby floated. Is God true to his word? We have to admit, that some of the present culture is very much like it was in the days of Noah. Unbelief is rampant. Church attendance, they tell us, is the lowest that it's been in years. You go to Europe, many churches are empty. Nobody comes. I remember my wife and I visited a church when we were in Poland. They said, well, the minister comes once a year to preach, to lead the people. Once a year, because the people, there's no interest anymore. But there's one bright spot in the horizon, and that is the coming of Jesus Christ. Just when the world least expects him. And is there any time that you can think of that the people least expected Jesus to come than today? How many of you, when you got up this morning, thought, I'll bet this is the day Jesus is going to return? Probably not. How many of you even thought about it, let's say, in the last week? Maybe he might return this week. And what kind of people ought we to be if we really believe that? You see, we read in the book of Isaiah, the Lord will come with fire, with his chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger and fury. Jesus promised his disciples in John 14, I'm going to go. But if I go, I will come again, that you might be where I am. Isn't that a great promise? I'm going to go and I'm going to come and get you, that you might be where I am. So, Jack, do you still believe that Jesus will return? Yeah, I do. Do I believe he'll return in my lifetime, like my Sunday school teacher told me? I don't know. Of that I'm not certain. But my certainty is that he will one day return. 300 times in the New Testament we read about Jesus' second coming. 300 times. He could come today. Wouldn't it be exciting in the playoff games today that all of a sudden Jesus would return? The cameras would say, something's going on. You know, wouldn't that be exciting? He may not. He may not come for another 10 years. He may not come for another decade. He may not come for another 100 years. But the promise is that he will return. And the Bible says, what sort of people ought we to be? How should we live? The only Jesus that some people will ever see is you and me. The only Bible that many people will ever read is your life and my life. How are we portraying Jesus with those we come? So I ask you, if Jesus were to return today, would you be ready? What if you knew that I was a prophet and I could tell you that at 12:30 today, that's about 30, 40 minutes from now, Jesus is going to return? What would you do? What would be the first thing you'd do? Would you go to your knees? Would you go call a friend? What would you do? You see, we will never have that forewarning. We have the signs, but those signs have been there. And those signs are going to keep coming. And Jesus says, those signs, don't let those signs fool you. They will come. So what does the Bible say? It says, when he comes, we that are alive, we will be caught up in the air to be with him, that will always be with him. The prophet Amos wrote, prepare to meet thy God. Now is the day that we prepare for that. Now is the time. As Peter said, how should we live? We ought to be bright lights. We ought to live each day in expectation that Jesus return, and at the same time live that day that he may not return for another decade. But our lives should be focused on the fact that Jesus is going to return, maybe in your lifetime. Some of you are much younger than I am. I'm almost 150, but you're not there at all. You know, God has given us time today to prepare. I'm sure as I speak to you this morning, most of you have made those preparations. Most of you have invited Jesus Christ into your life. Most of you have committed your life to follow Christ. Most of you know him as Savior. Most of you declare him as Lord, but there might be some of you who have not. What should I do? What should I do? How do I get ready? You just open your heart. You open your heart and say, God, I want to know you. I want to follow you. I don't understand it all, but I want to know you and I follow you, and I surrender my life to you. And if you do that, after we've had the benediction this morning, come up and talk to me. Let me pray with you. Tell somebody else, I want to be ready. You see, I have no idea when Jesus is going to return. Neither did my Sunday school teacher. She just thought it might happen in my lifetime. But we know he's going to return. Let's pray.